Hello and welcome to D2C Podcast. I'm Eric Dick. Today I'm chatting with one of my favorite creators and also favorite last name havers, Colin Landforce, who launched his social media presence earlier this year on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and has been skyrocketing in followers, popularity, and engagement, all the while mining this very niche intersection of golfing accessories and e-commerce business building. Want to know where to find the best blanks for your golf shirts? Follow Colin. Want to know how to launch a new ball brand and find the best suppliers for balls, ball markers, or gloves? Follow Colin. Want to put down the excuses and finally start creating the short form video content that can fuel not only your brand, but an epic personal brand? Listen to this pod and definitely follow Colin. Hope you enjoy this one as much as I enjoyed doing it, and help keep me honest in 2024 as I launch my own short form video empire along with the podcast. Time to get going with Colin Landforce, and on with the show.
99.9% of people doing e-commerce are brutally misunderstanding the value of creating your own audience and your own distribution. Tell me how much you spend on paid right now. That is a fraction of the value that you could build in to your brand if you took content creation seriously. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. I interact on Twitter with all these people with 7-8-figure e-commerce brands. Almost none of them get it. It is borderline irresponsible the way that they're ignoring the short form creator opportunity. The excuse is often that you don't want to tie yourself to a personality that you become beholden to, and it's just an absolute joke. There are 100 ways to approach it. It is irresponsible the degree to which it's being ignored by a lot of really big operators.
If you're a D2C brand on Shopify and you're not using Black Crow, then you're leaving significant revenue on the table. Black Crow uses your own data to help you identify customers returning to your site who would otherwise remain anonymous. The more customers you can identify, the more email and SMS abandonment messages you can send. You'll see incremental revenue almost immediately without having to change any of your existing flows. The best part? All it takes is a one-click integration. There's zero development work required. Head on over to blackcrow.ai/DTC to get started with a free 30-day trial. Colin Landforce, welcome to the D2C Podcast. My first question is, how do you explain to your aunts what you do?
My aunts, that's a good question. They're fairly liberal leaning, so cannabis has not been a tough one on that topic. The internet stuff, the, if you can call it influencer stuff, the content creator stuff, I don't think anybody, there are a few people of that ilk that really get it. So I don't know. Have fun on the internet.
Just have fun on the internet. That's pretty good. I have had fun with your content since you started making it. It's been a wild ride for you. You occupy this interesting niche between the e-com world in this golf influencer world, and you're just putting out like really great content about how to build brands in these spaces. And I think you just give a lot of people that idea of like, hey, here, it's not that hard. Here's how you find the factories. Here's how you create these products. Discuss a little bit about how you came into this content creation game.
So first of all, I think that in general, like the business types kind of like gatekeep how business works and what supply chain is. And there's this whole mythology around how big and complex it is. And of course, business is tricky. As someone who has both done business for sustained periods of time and content creation for sustained periods of time, content is way harder. Like there's an X factor in content. There's a will this even work factor in content. The spreadsheets are easy. Managing people is tricky too, right? But I think in general, the nuts and bolts of what it takes to like launch a brand are gatekept by the spreadsheet keepers. So a lot of the content that I do that you've seen is around just like democratizing that and talking through it and simplifying it, certainly. But I think all of the pieces of this, from the supply chain to design, all this stuff is overcomplicated in the eyes of people that aren't actually in it, and maybe intentionally on the business folks' behalf.
What was your intention when you got into this? Were you one of those guys that was like, okay, I'm going to make content every day for the next 90 days? Like, describe what your mindset was going into.
Honestly, I've been making content for, I think, almost 3 years now, and only recently have I gotten very intentional about it. My whole thing was knowing that this would be useful and great for networking, et cetera. And I spent 2 years like totally floundering with it, like doing it, no lie, but just kind of taking shots in the dark and figuring that out. And for me, I think for everyone, but for me, it was just about finding the intersection of my interests and things I can talk about endlessly, that also other people find interesting, right? So that journey, you know, 3 years now, I'm starting to figure that out, I think. I'm far from having it dialed, but it has certainly landed at product creation, brand building, and like you said, golf.
And describe your growth. Describe like where you started and where you're at now.
I started on Twitter, which was, I think, in a lot of ways, a big waste of time when compared to like what you can do with short form these days. I mean, truly, it was me experimenting, right? Like a lot of my early content, a lot of when I was like a few thousand followers on Twitter, I was talking a lot about basketball cards. Because again, particularly at that time, this was fit the bill of like something that I'm into that I can talk endlessly about. But I think it's kind of grown. The common thread that's come all the way through it has been like explaining, breaking down, walking through and simplifying these things, these concepts, et cetera. And so while it's, you know, we've traveled through time here, there's a whole epic of cannabis related content. The common thread is like break down, explain, simplify, I think.
And it works. And you're at almost 60,000 followers now with like crazy good engagement. And it's like on the surface, it's such a niche area. It's like, here's how you could get in on this golf accessory gold rush in a way. And you're breaking down. I like that concept you have about, you know, there are a lot of people that gatekeep this idea. And a lot, it's this like stumbling block about like, how do I create these products? Oh, you know, those ball markers would be expensive to create or whatever. You're just showing people flat out. No, they're not. They're made in these factories. Here's how you do it. Like it's such a good testament to me of like how much you can grow a niche and how you go, like you can go all the way down to a very small niche and still get like incredible value from it. I think that's the D2C story, like the newsletter and podcast story. It's like, we're never going to have as many listens as maybe a Joe Rogan podcast but the listens are so valuable with our audience because it's so niche down. That did it surprise you how much traction you've been able to get on what you think is a relatively small niche?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple elements to it. One being that like golf is generally exploding, and especially among kind of like elder millennials, right? Like a lot of people my age, I'm 36. A lot of people my age are just getting to this point where they're like discovering golf. I have the advantage or disadvantage sometimes of having played golf since I was in high school, but between COVID and then this whole like golf age demographic kind of like finding it right now, it's blowing up. And I think, so there's a serious wave that I'm riding there. But there's this other group of people that follows me and is super interested in my content that is like entrepreneurial leaning, you know, maybe not at all or some like completely, that just thinks it's interesting. Like these people will never like start a golf brand or yada, 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 but just like think that it's cool to kind of like see the insides and go deeper into like costs of some of these things and how they're actually made and what it actually takes. And I think that's, again, common thread of what I've done has been like, let's look at a cost model. Like cost models are always fascinating to me. And that's a really simple video format, honestly, that I should probably do more of that is always eye-opening. I think a lot of times people do that content and like can you believe how much money is made? And I don't think it's that. It's really just like, let's look at how this comes together and look at the pieces of this.
What I really like to hear about this is this idea. A lot of people watch cooking shows, professional cooking shows, because everyone cooks and they think cooking's interesting. There's so many different categories like that. I've always wondered like when can I build the world's first like Iron Chef for media buyers or for product building or for brand builders. And so I love that you're exemplifying this group of people or you're appealing to this group of people who think entrepreneurship is cool and they want to see behind the curtain. Because I think that's a big growth opportunity. I think like as things, you know, as the world evolves, like that profession and that idea will be something that's more interesting to people with the idea that it could get more cross, you know, pop culture appreciation essentially. And I think you're proving that.
Yeah, I think like, so I'm doing this series right now where I'm ordering from brands, like big golf brands, and then just doing videos like breaking down the customer experience of it arriving, right? And that's got a lot of those types interested. I'm shocked that anybody cares about this stuff. I'm like basically like nerding out about what's inside of a cardboard box, but it's that same thing, right? It's like we open it up. Oh, is it branded tissue versus unbranded tissue? Like the cost on these is effectively the same for these brands. How come this brand decided to like do something a little bit more complicated than zero on this? And like looking at all those different components, it's interesting you mentioned like the cooking show comparison. There, I think there definitely is something there. It gets into arts and crafts realms pretty quickly, but
Yeah, it's. I think it's super interesting. And there is, like, I think anyone who listens to this podcast would get a lot out of your content. Like, just the application that I always see is, like, even in with established brands, like, one of the things we talk about all the time is, like, gift with purchase. And I feel like, I think there's a lot in your content that specifically, like, people could find, like, really cool gifts that help them in Q4, for instance. I was thinking, so that's an idea for a video for you, is, like, how to source the best gift with purchase for Q4 for other D2C brands.
That is a good idea. I wish I could write that down right now. I mean, touching on that, like, anybody that has a brand has sent product to influencers for an unboxing. And I think something that brands don't do enough of is thinking about, like, okay, how do you give that experience to just, like, everybody?
Yeah.
Right? Because I think more and more so, even there's, like, the whole, like, micro creator phenomenon, but there's also just, like, okay, not a micro creator, but, like, someone that uses Instagram and shows their friends what they're doing. Sure, you can't spend an extra $40 on every single unboxing experience, but I think if you think about every single user, every single consumer and their experience and what that unboxing could be like, all of a sudden, for, like, very little money, your unboxing can get much, much better. And then when you multiply that times 5,000 normal people, I think there's, like, profound effects there potentially.
So focus more on unboxing. You're also just proving out this creator model. You've just become a creator. I'm interested. Are you sponsored at this point? Are you getting any rounds for free? Are you getting any sweet swag sent your way for free?
I'm getting a truckload of product. I've got a couple of sponsored content, like, conversations kind of going back and forth. It's a weird one. I think in a lot of ways, I'm, like, on the precipice of, like, more of those conversations. A lot of them are weird ones. It's like, is this really something that I want to do? And I have the luxury of, like, this is, like, a fun thing that I do for now. So I don't, like, need to. But I'm hoping that I'm, like, I don't know, the next, hopefully forward from here, there's some serious dollars kicking around from the right kind of products or the right kind of brands.
You really straddle that B2B, B2C space, which I think is so interesting. And you mentioned the Venn diagram. It's funny. One of my good friends and Pilot House teammates is he's Brett Turner on TikTok, big influencer for, like, automating your home. I think he's going to put an NFT. He's going to put, like, a tag in his hand or something. He's going to take the chip, but he's basically, like, super nerded out on this. And he's now making a trailing, like, 5-figure revenue in affiliate revenues. And he's getting contacted by Apple for new product deals. And it's amazing how quick, I guess that's what you're really a testament to, is how quickly you can gain an incredibly valuable audience by combining these circles of things you're passionate about.
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's that, and then just, like, hammering it over and over and over again, right? Like, my growth, which I think compared to a lot of people is relatively small, but I went from, you know, effectively zero on Instagram to 50K in, like, 12 weeks-ish. And it's just because I was doing it every day. Like, it's just every day. Like, my content is good too a lot of the time, not all the time, but it's just doing it every single day. And I think that that's where a lot of people lose momentum or just, like, don't see what they want to see, is every day for the first 90 days is, like, yeah, that's fine. But it's, like, been almost every day for a year. My friend Oren is, like, kind of my example of me on steroids. His content is amazing. The reason he's had so much success is because he's absolutely relentless, more so than I am on the every day. And this is all just an algorithm game in terms of the growth piece of it. And the most important element of that is every single day.
His boy math video, really, I sent that around to my team about, like, you know, and it was the same sort of thing about, like, the cost structure of starting up a business. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Boy math is a great concept. Yeah. I got more boy math videos coming as well.
Better than boy dinner, but one's good too. But we got to get Oren on the podcast. I've messaged him before, but I may not be on his radar, but I want to do more of these sort of, like, these creator hybrid type pods. And then what I also want is, like, so I love conversation and I can talk in conversation in these, like, one-on-one things until the cows come home. This is my 7th podcast this week, actually. We're stocking up. But I have this mental block when it comes to actually talking to camera and actually, you know, creating content in the way that you've managed to do. So how did you overcome that? And then what's sort of your formula for, like, how you make good videos?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to vary. There's so many different formats you can be successful with. For me, obviously there's, like, this, it's like an infotainment, like, education, but I've found that, like, personality and being funny is, like, a very, very important part of my videos. And I kind of recently, like, dove back through what's been most successful. In fact, like, my biggest takeaway from it was, like, I have to have the one-liner. I have to have the quip, like, really in the first, like, 10 to 12 seconds. All my best videos have that. So, but for me, my format is, my, like, literal format is hook, quip or personality, and then like three bullet points. Like that's it. That's how I went on short form. And again, there's, you know, my format in general, like the talking head green screen is like, that's one of 20, but that is how I've found success. And in terms of like making the jump and like doing the damn thing, for me, it's really like wrapping your head around topics and like how many videos there are to actually make. Cause it's really easy to be like, okay, like here's some video ideas, but like that's seven. And Colin just said I need to do every day. So like that's a week. And I got to do this every day for a year, right? But I think like there's some really, really simple exercises you can do to like go and take one topic and turn it into 20 and start like really just expanding your mind and like appreciating what your video is, right? A lot of the formats you see is like, oh, here's three tools to do X. It's like, well, it's three. So the three tools is one video. And then there's a video about each of those three tools. And then each of those videos could be like how to use it, why it's valuable. And all of a sudden that one video is now, that was like three tools I used to do my X, that one chain is now 18 videos, right? And that was just one of the ideas for like the tools I use to do what I do. And so I think the first step is like really wrapping your head around like the wealth of valuable content that there is to make. And again, my assumption here is that it's like in our realm and our niche of like business kind of style content, I guess, for lack of a better term. But the real answer is like, you just have to do the first one. You just have to like wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm making one today, and then do that again.
The days are getting shorter, shopping lists are getting longer, and marketer's hair joins the autumn leaves in the deciduous tradition of falling out. That's right, it's November, and that means it's e-commerce go time. This Q4, make one-to-one conversations with your customers your number one revenue channel with PostScript. With innovative technology, a customer-first mentality, and products like SMS sales and Fondue cashback, PostScript is the preferred SMS revenue platform for over 12,000 Shopify merchants. With PostScript, you'll learn SMS best practices, data-driven sending strategies, list growth tactics, and so much more. You can learn more about PostScript and receive an exclusive offer by visiting postscript.io/DTC. You got to follow Colin everywhere. Great influencer. You learn a lot, but you have a great post on Twitter literally about your process. And the one thing I took from it is like, there's just no nonsense. It's like, you're thinking about the format. Like you don't need to say, hi, I'm Eric, because it's like your name's right there. You're like, you don't need to reiterate and you have no room for anything, but like, and I think that's one of the reasons I like your content is like, it's terse. It's just quick. It's spare. It's like right to the point, like aggressively. So, and you've got like, it's your calm demeanor followed by the quip. It's like, I think all of that works really well together.
The same thing that people knock on short form for, which is like, oh, no attention span and da-da-da-da-da, are the same things that make it really good. Because like, you go to YouTube to find out like how to replace a light bulb. You got 45 seconds of bullshit about why I should subscribe to your channel, who you are, shout out to my sponsor. Like that does not fly on short form. And that's what makes it so good. And at the end of the day, we don't need the intro right now. If we want to learn more about you, we'll go to your page. We'll learn more about you. But like today, right now, what we're here is for that hook that you just gave me, that reason that you just gave me to watch. And that's why short form is excellent from a consumer standpoint and also like very achievable from a creator standpoint, because you don't need full production value, big cameras, yada, yada, yada. You need your phone.
One of the things that we were talking in the pre-interview about was D2C. Is we've launched our sort of education portal. We've started featuring some of the courses that we've created. You've launched your first cohort, which I think that's a really interesting. I've done education in different ways. I've done it as video courses, essentially in communities, and then I've done it cohorted. So talk a little bit about how your cohort's going and what kind of people are taking it and what's going on there.
Yeah, so we kind of jumped into this head first and decided to do it really based on the fact that like, there's a small group of us that are taking short form really, really seriously, iterating, learning together. It's literally a group text. And this moment happened of like, what if we just like shared this with a bigger group and we could charge them some money so it was worth our while, and we did it. And we went from like, hey, what if we did this, to launching in like 5 weeks and just got the first version off the ground and ripped it. And we're in the middle of that right now. We're just under two weeks into it. And I've never done info. We're having an absolute blast. We've got new brand owners, we've got existing seasoned brand owners, we've got brand new creators, people that have never even like entertained the idea of picking up their phone and talking at it, and we've got people with hundreds of thousands of followers that like just want to get better. And I think the group overall has been awesome. I think with anything like this, you have the people that like become really active and really go for it, then the people that trail off. I think that's the nature of the beast. But we have like, tonight we have office hours. I'm really looking forward to it, because it's just like this, we're gonna have 20, 30, 40 people just like super fired up about doing this thing, just firing off the questions. The last one we did, I think Oren ended up recording like 10 different how-to videos in like a 60-minute span. Just for like, how do I do this? Oh, let me show you. It's been a blast. I think we've got a good business there. I'm really proud of how quickly we brought it to life. And then more so like the stuff that's coming out of it, the content that's coming out of it. We are currently, as of right now, we are 3 days into our like, we have a week of prep and then the rest of it is like you're posting every day and we're evolving. We're 3 days into posting every day. And it's crazy to see both the improvement from day zero to like day three or four or whatever it is, as well as just like the content that's coming out of it. And these people are going from, these people are like taking leaps that took me, you know, 2 months or 50, 60 videos. And like they've got by the third or fourth video, it's like starting to look viable. And it's really cool to see. And then more so like the value, the enterprise value that's going to come out of that, whether they're doing it for their brand or just like building an audience. It's really cool.
That cohort approach is, it's easy to be like, oh, I want to be the Netflix of education and just have like videos on demand and stuff like that. But there's so much to be said for starting with a cohort for, like you say, the enterprise value, because you create so much value in that format. And that value goes on to create the legend of what that course is. I remember in the first course I ran, it was like an affiliate mastery challenge. And in the very first course we ran, some guy found some like exploit on like BBM Indonesia or something and ran some semi-sketchy offer. And made tens of thousands of dollars like in the course. It became legend that, oh wow, take this course, you get a chance at like finding these angles or whatever. And it just had its own momentum. So I imagine, yeah, the content that's created out of this will just like really help it grow. What's it called, by the way?
It's called Cut 30.
Cut 30. Because I'm gonna be in this. When's your next cohort? Because I gotta be in on this.
I think November 6th or something. I think okay. It's on, yeah. We're super transparent with the group too. It's got like 72 people. We're like, look, this is our first time doing this. We got excellent stuff here and anything that comes up, you let us know. And like, we're like building out modules on the fly, adding to the content and just like trying to be all over and make it as good as possible to turn it into a long-term business. But it's been awesome to watch this come together. My success with short form is pretty dependent on like my group text where I'm talking with other people who are also figuring it out. And so I think at the most basic level, creating that for other people is like super valuable and it's the fun part. And it's like how you get a high percentage of people coming out of this thing, like really having taken advantage, learn the stuff and then leverage the stuff versus just like hoping they read it.
With a lot to show for it, like with the actual content. I'm wondering with the brand owners, are they creating thought leadership pieces about them and entrepreneurship? Are they creating really good UGC essentially? Like what are the brand owners using the course to launch?
There's a wide range of, you know, we've kind of included, because the mix of us, we've done like obviously the content we do personally, everybody's been involved in brands and their short form content prior to that. So we kind of offer up like, look, here's how to do building public content. Here's how to do X. Here's how to do UGC. Here's how to do talking head and become like the face. We put it all out there. There's a wide mix of it. I think in general, it's like leaning towards the like personal brand expert in the niche, like, and then have the brand to go along with it. But it's really all over the board. And I think at the end of the day, anybody that's doing a brand and has a short form strategy, there's between various accounts, there's probably some of all of that in the mix, right? Whether it's, oh yeah, we've got the brand account that does this, and then I'm making a run at being the face on my other account, there's a mix for sure. But I think that has been the hardest part about it is just like making sure we kind of like have content to address the different use cases because there's a lot of ways to do short form.
Yeah, and the other huge trend is like the vertical integration of people with audiences and products, which you're perfectly situated to help with as well, literally, right? Like you're helping people build audiences. And then, you know, you've got this other whole piece where you can help them source and generate products potentially. You mentioned you're starting a product. Talk a little bit about that strategy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is the classic, I guess, audience to brand playbook that I've talked a lot about.
Linear commerce, right? That was what one of my mentors talked a lot about, was you create that audience first, you query them, and then you create the product from that data essentially.
Yep. I think like in general, the distribution element on consumer products is just so undervalued. And it's basically the marketing line in your P&L. And in building an audience, you have an opportunity to like borderline delete that line. And I think it's obviously much better if you have that and then also do paid and do performance and produce higher quality, higher production value stuff. But in general, distribution is everything in consumer product and it's criminally undervalued. and the what you can do as a creator for that distribution is crazy in 2023 with nothing but an iPhone. And so for me, like we've talked about, I kind of started to find my way into golf, and immediately, maybe not immediately, but I got people asking like, what, we see you, what are you doing here? And so what I'm working on a brand. I think I'm probably taking a little bit less traditional approach. I wouldn't say I'm doing a golf brand. I'm really creating a brand that can be a platform for like the products that I want to make, right? It's not going to be a traditional golf brand. It's not going to be an apparel or a merch brand. I'm making a brand that literally can be like my label for what I want to make today. And I think that'll probably be a pretty fluid thing. It's going to definitely be golf leaning, but there's going to be all kinds of stuff. I'm super excited about it. I'm waiting for round four back from the designer on the actual brand ID. And as soon as we get that, we are absolutely cooking. I got a bunch of stuff lined up. And it's really, you know, I'll probably do actual releases with like hundreds of units. And I'm also definitely going to do like, I wanted this for myself and the MOQ was 50. So there's 49 of them, right? And just like very small drops, really just as a vehicle as much as anything else.
Are you going to use your magnificent last name as part of the brand?
It is a namesake brand. The brand is Landforce.
It is a name. I loved it when you're named Landforce.
Finally.
I think it's a pretty good name. You're yep. Definitely on my all name team. Dick is up there too, of course. but Landforce, definitely enjoyable as well. Very cool, man. Any other hot takes you got cooking up there you have, again, such a big breadth. I met some guys, and I won't even mention their brand because they won't come on the podcast. They're so low key about it, but they're doing football accessories for high school and university football, and it's like arm shivers and, you know, different things like that, and they're just banking, doing so well organically. They're so viral, they're so in those communities, and I think the opportunity for like sporting accoutrement is probably still like a huge opportunity.
I think stuff that riffs off of existing community, so like what you just mentioned, obviously, like we could say the same about golf, right? But there's you see so many brands just go after, I don't want to say a new market, but like when you don't have the community lever to pull, it's much harder, right? You become very reliant on just paid. And then, I mean, take-wise, dude, I think 99.9% of people doing e-commerce and doing DTC stuff are brutally misunderstanding the value of creating your own audience and your own distribution. Like, go and look and tell me how much you spend on paid right now. Like, that is a fraction of the value that you could build in to your brand if you took content creation seriously. I'm trying to make a soundbite here. Like, you should all be ashamed of yourselves, really and truly. And it's funny, like I've started tweeting about some of this stuff, and I could tell from the response or lack thereof, the degree to which people don't get it. Like I interact on Twitter with all these people with 7-8-figure e-commerce brands or portfolios of 7-figure e-commerce brands, and almost none of them get it. And it is bizarre because media is like one of the oldest things, the oldest, truest thing in the world is that media controls everything, right?
Yeah.
Like the printing press.
Yeah.
Right. Since then, right? And it's just totally bizarre to me to watch people spend 100, 200 grand a month on paid media who don't get the whole creator and audience building thing.
It's so funny. It's literally what Pilot House, our partner agency, did with D2C, right? It's like, let's create a party. And the cool thing about newsletters is that you can acquire, you can acquire users and send them content. Basically built like this whole media company, and it's been the major like fueling element for like clients to find Pilot House as well. And it's like if you're running an agency out there and you haven't started a podcast, like it's in a way, it's like, you know, another person starting a podcast is like, do we need that? But it's like that ability to, you know, put yourself out there. It's like a famous Canadian said, program or be programmed in a way, right? And media is a way that you can easily program. You can put your own content out there and create a trail of things that allow people to find you.
Yep. I truly think that most e-commerce operators, like it is borderline irresponsible the way that they're ignoring like the short form creator opportunity and like the audience building opportunity. And I think the excuse is often that you don't want to tie yourself to a personality that you become beholden to. And it's just an absolute joke. There are 100 ways to approach it. And it is irresponsible the degree to which it's being ignored by a lot of really big operators.
I love it. I feel like we have multiple newsletters. We have podcasts, which is just another form of a newsletter. It's just another form of media. We also have all of our social channels. I think we just hit 70,000 followers on Instagram, which is great, but it's like, it's only as valuable as it is as a channel. So like really figuring out how to get out of it what you want, attract the right people. But it is outrageous that we have not tried some Landforce-esque content. So you can look, I'm going to hold myself accountable. I'm going to try to get into your next cohort, but I'm going to hold myself accountable that by the next time we speak, I will have created some like direct to camera content in the Landforce-esque style.
Good. Do it. Here's the thing you got to do is a lot of pros and especially a lot of media people immediately pick up the DSLR and the da da da, and they've got to line up the editor. And I think the key to it, even if that's a part of your end game with content, the key is like your phone and a mic and a ring light.
And edit it yourself. Edit the first ones yourself kind of thing. Do you edit most of your own videos or all your own videos?
Yeah. Edit the first 500 yourself.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to brief an editor and you will have found a style that works. But any content creation agency that's like telling you like, oh, this is your strategy that's an inherently flawed approach, because your success with this is, like I said, it's this intersection of what you can talk about endlessly, what you can execute on every day, and like what people actually want to hear from you. And you don't get there by doing like highly produced videos that you can do two a week of. You get there by doing it every single day.
Getting into that flow. Nice, man. Give everyone where they can find you right now. I know it's related to Landforce.
Yeah, it's Landforce on everything. It's a beauty of a weird last name.
Follow Landforce everywhere.
Like Air Force, but land.
Exactly. I'm going to have to find someone who has superior air power just to match.
Yeah, good luck.
But for now, yeah, good luck. man, you're going to have to come back. I want to figure out a way to make you like a correspondent, like to help you. Like every now and then like figure out a way to be like our Daily Show correspondent in a specific area. I think the audience would love that.
I'm ready. Say the word.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can do that right now at directtoconsumer.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.